Morning, everyone. As you know, we've been away in France, and we arrived back last week, and we've come back nicely tanned, so the weather was absolutely fantastic. We had 2 weeks of unbroken sunshine. It was between 30 and 35 degrees. It was glorious. But there was actually a very serious purpose to the reason we was out there. For a while now, I've had a real heart for France and feel that at some point in the future, God may be calling us to church plant there. So as part of our holiday, we was actually at a conference for the churches in France. And we was with probably about 450 Christians, most of which were from France and other French-speaking nations, such as Belgium, Switzerland. There was a couple from Algiers and a couple from Morocco as well. And we heard some great testimonies of what God is doing in countries where actually the church is quite persecuted, where the church is underground and they don't have all that much freedom to celebrate God. They wouldn't be able to meet in a building like this on a Sunday morning and express their worship of Jesus in the way that we do. But before I go any further, there's something you really need to know about me and Aditya and holidays. Because actually our holidays in the past generally haven't gone too smoothly. Because Aditya's idea of a holiday and my idea of a holiday are kind of, they're quite diametrically opposed. They're poles apart. My idea of a holiday is really to be spent at home with my own bed and my own kitchen with my own fridge and my own cooker. And my own toilet and my own shower. I like my comfort and my luxury, and my home is the best place to get that. You don't get it in a caravan or a tent or anywhere else. But Aditya, unfortunately, her idea of a holiday is to go to the ends of the world to see whatever she can, and she'll sacrifice everything to get there. So she will give up eating, she'll give up sleeping, she'll give up all of her luxuries, and very often this means that when we're on holiday, I do an awful lot of complaining, and then we do a little bit of arguing. This is confessions this morning. It feels like therapy, to be honest with you. But this is normally how our holidays go. But what I would like to share with you this morning is this holiday was nothing like that. I will tell you a little bit. At the conference, we knew that everything was going to be basic. We knew that the facilities were going to be far more basic than I would like or I'm used to. And when we got there and we saw our caravan, I think the caravan was actually, I think in the 70s, somebody took it to the campsite with a horse, and during the holiday, the horse died. So it got left there. And this was what we were staying in. The bed was very uncomfortable. There was no cooker and no fridge. The showers were kind of, well, you might get hot water in the afternoon, but morning, you're not very likely to get hot water. The toilets were a little bit better than a hole in the ground. Thank God for that. But it's kind of, there was actually quite a lot for me to complain about. And yet, we had an amazing time. My perspective was a little bit different. I went for a different purpose. And I went with a real sense of faith and expectation. I went with faith that God was going to speak to us and expecting God to reveal something more of his plans and purposes for us. And because my approach to this holiday was very different to how I normally approach holidays, what I received from it was far greater than I actually expected. And this was a principle that God was teaching me throughout the whole week and through a lot of the preaching and the worship. The worship was fantastic. The preaching was great. But this was a theme that kept coming up and coming up and coming up. And this morning, that's kind of what I want to share with you about our time in France. That actually, when we approach something with faith and expectation, what we get from it is usually far, far different than if we approach it with fear, doubt, and unbelief. And I also realize that this isn't just a nice principle that sort of that I've conjured up or kind of got from it, but actually this is a strong biblical principle. So if you've got your Bibles with you, if you can turn to Numbers 13 is quite easy to find, by the way. It's after the book of Leviticus, which most people skip through when they're reading through their Bible. So just after Exodus, skip Leviticus and straight into Numbers and we're off. And I'm going to be reading verses 21 to 31. So here we go. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob towards Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ammonar Sheshai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between. Can you imagine that? A cluster of grapes so big that it requires two men to carry them on a pole. That just bends my mind, that does. I mean, they also took with them some pomegranates and some figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because the cluster of grapes that Israel cut off there. And after the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite assembly at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it flows with milk and honey. Here is its fruit, but the people who live there are powerful, and cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. Now, what we see here is there is one situation in front of the people of God. And there are two approaches to this situation. I'm going to give you just a little bit of background. Essentially, the Israelites have been taken out of Egypt. Moses has rescued them. They've gone through the Red Sea and they've wandered through the wilderness for a bit. They've been given the law and all of that, and after a few trials and tribulations, they've reached the edge of the Promised Land. And in preparation for going into the Promised Land, Moses has sent some spies out so that they can start to form a strategy of how they're going to go in and take it. And these are the spies that have come back. There was 12 of them in all. And this is the report that they've brought back. Now, 10 of the men, they went into the land and they saw how good the fruit was. They saw that the land is plentiful. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It goes beyond their wildest dreams. It is a land full of the potential and promise of God. But they also saw the giants in the land. They saw not only the giants, but also the fortified cities, the great big huge walls. They thought, how on earth can we conquer this land? We won't even get into the cities, and if we do, we're going to be faced by these men who are just going to slaughter us. And fear, doubt, and unbelief spread panic through the whole people of God, and for 40 years, they missed out on the promise of God. They were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years because of fear, doubt, and unbelief. And actually, God said, the whole generation is going to pass away, and I'm going to raise up a new generation, a generation that lives with faith and expectation to go into the Promised Land. And the two men who came back with faith and expectation, Joshua and Caleb, it was Joshua who 40 years later led the Israelites into the promises of God. And again, the very first city they come up to was the city of Jericho, and I guess a lot of you will know the story of this city with great big huge walls. And God said to him, just march around and blow your trumpets. And that's what they did. And after doing that for 7 days, the walls came down and they went in and captured the city. You see, it didn't rely on their strength. It was about God. Fear, doubt, and unbelief prevented a whole generation from entering the Promised Land. But faith and expectation, knowing that God is not only faithful, but is bigger and stronger than the giants and the giant cities and the giant walls, persevered, and they walked into the promises of God. And this was actually very much what it was like for me during my holiday. If I'd have gone on holiday thinking, well, the caravan's going to be a bit naff, and I'm not going to be very comfortable, and I'm going to have to go in showers that probably won't work very well, then this morning, actually, all I'd have done is come back, and I'd have probably been able to complain about all the difficulties and all the trials that I had to endure while I was away. And I'd have probably been able to tell you about the arguments that me and Aditya had been having because I'd been so miserable most of the time. But because I'd gone with faith and expectation, actually, my experience was completely different. And God really spoke. That's my testimony this morning. God really spoke. He spoke to me about church planting in France, and I've come back with a greater faith and greater vision for what God has laid on my heart there. But actually, also what God has said to me while I was there was, I need to wait. He said to me, I need to be more committed here, and I need to give myself more to this church here that I'm standing before this morning. And God has filled me with a real faith and expectation for the things that he's going to do amongst us, and he's going to do out of this place. And I stand here believing God for greater signs and wonders, for seeing more and more miracles coming as we seek God in this place. And this is something that I think is going to be really, really important for us. So this is going to be a really important principle for us as we move forwards. So the big idea here is that fear, doubt, and unbelief only prevents, paralyzes, whereas faith and expectation will encourage, embolden, and enable. So I'd like us to just spend a few minutes now looking at what this means for our life right here, right now, because I think this is a very practical principle for our everyday life. So let's think about Monday morning for a moment. On Monday morning, where are you going to be? Are you going to be at the school gate dropping the kids off? Are you going to be at work? Are you going to be in an art class or a social club or something like that? Because wherever you are, if you're confronted with somebody you know and they come and say, well, I've been having a real bad week. Actually, I've had some bad news recently. I've just realized that I've got something and we're not sure what it is and I'm having tests, or I've just been diagnosed with cancer or some horrible disease. You see, fear, doubt, and unbelief, there's one situation in front of us here, but there are two possible approaches. We could approach with fear, doubt, and unbelief, and we could think, well, I can't really do anything in this situation. I'm not even certain God can or will or even wants to. What if I offer to pray and they reject me? What if I offer to pray and they laugh at me? What if? Or you could approach the situation with faith and expectation, thinking in faith that this is a God-given opportunity. This is something Jesus has appointed you for this time and this place. What if you pray a prayer of faith and they not only get healed, but they come to know Jesus and salvation? You see, are you going to see only the giants, or are you going to see the giant fruit? Are you going to pray with prayer? Are you going to look at the situation with faith and expectation? Now, why is it we can have this faith and expectation? Why is it? Well, it's because of the finished work of Jesus, isn't it? You see, I could go to France with faith and expectation because I know that my sins are buried in the grave in his death. I know that I am raised to new life in Christ because he is raised from the death. And I know that I am sent out in authority by the one who is seated in the seat of all power and all authority. When Jesus ascended to heaven and took his place on the throne at the right hand of God, he was sat in the throne of all power and all authority. And he said to his disciples, all power and all authority has been given to me, so go. Go into all the world and make disciples. You see, we're disciples of Jesus. We're disciples of the one who has all power and all authority. And we go into every situation in his power and his authority. So when we face difficult situations, when we face different situations, we can look at it and think, I don't know about that. Not sure. I'm not sure if God's going to do anything. Well, the reality is, the God who sent us is the God with all power and all authority. Jesus is sat in the throne of all power and all authority. And he has all power and all authority, even over sickness and disease. Even over sickness and disease. So what about when I go to work on Monday morning? Well, to be honest, I don't really like my job all that much. I used to be a chef, and now I'm a babysitter for prisoners. I work in a kitchen, but my job has very little to do with cooking and a lot to do with trying to prevent prisoners who don't really want to work from stealing things and getting into mischief. Right? That's not what I spent my years training as a chef to do. My line managers spend quite a lot of time bickering and arguing with each other, and I feel I'm constantly pulled to one side or the other, and I'm trying to not take sides. So my job could be quite depressing and quite difficult. I've got this one situation in front of me, and I've got two possible approaches to it. You see, I could go with fear, doubt, and unbelief, thinking this is just going to be a miserable time. I don't want to be there. God can't really make a difference in that place. The prison's just too big. It's too huge a thing for God to do anything there. Or I could go with faith and expectation. I could go expecting God to give me opportunities and possibilities. I could go expecting that Jesus is going to open a door for me to have a conversation with somebody, to demonstrate something of his love and compassion for them. I can go expecting that God is going to give me opportunities to pray for somebody and he's going to heal them. He's going to deal with their situation. You see, when I step out my front door in the morning, I'm walking into a world where I'm surrounded by people who are lost and broken. I'm surrounded by people who are dead in their sins. They're carrying problems that they cannot deal with themselves. They're carrying burdens too great for them to carry. And I'm carrying with me the one who has all power and all authority. He has power and authority over every situation they face, over every burden they carry. So I can approach the situation, I can approach them knowing that Jesus is the answer for them. I'm not the answer. It's not about me. It's about him. You see, it's Jesus who has all power and authority. It's not about me. It's about him. And he's the one who can deal with their situation, who can carry their burdens, who can heal their sickness, that can deliver them through their time of trial and suffering. How are we approaching our move to a new facility? See, this is one situation, and there's two possible approaches to this situation as well. We could be thinking, you know, a move to a new facility. I'm not sure if I like the idea of that. I don't even know if we can really afford it. It might be expensive. What if it doesn't work? What if I don't like the colour of the walls or the carpet? What if we have to change the way we do things? What if there's more people and my voice gets lost in the crowd? What happens if my opinion doesn't count quite as much as it does right now? What happens if we have to change the way we do certain ministries? What happens if we have to change the way we do Sunday school, or we do the ministry time, or the way we worship? What happens when we have to change things and we don't really like the way they're changing? You see, this is going to cause us to argue. It's going to cause us to complain. It's going to cause us to get stuck. And I don't really want to be wandering around the wilderness for 40 years while God raises up a generation of people filled with faith and expectation. I want to approach this move to a new facility with faith and expectation. I want to see the potential of what God could do if we released in a building that is going to serve us better. I want to see what God could do when we're in a building where God can multiply our ministries and multiply our growth, where God can bring salvation in ways that we haven't seen before. You see, the possibilities of where we're heading are absolutely fantastic. Are we going to see them, or are we going to see the giants that are going to prevent us from getting there? And just one more thing before we go, because I really believe God wants us to move more in the Spirit and wants us to grow in who we are in him. So it was great this morning to have prayers coming out, to have pictures and words, and I believe God really wants to increase that amongst us. So I just want to ask this morning, how did you come to church this morning? Did you come to church this morning thinking, I wonder if the worship's going to be any good. I wonder if I'm going to get anything out of it. Is it really worth going to church this early in the morning? We've got to be there for 10 o'clock on a Sunday. I should be there in bed, surely. Is it really worth going? Or are you coming in faith that God is going to speak to you? Are you coming expecting to be able to bring a picture, a prophetic word? Are you expecting to come being able to bring a prophetic word or a tongue? Are you coming expecting to bring a contribution that is going to build us up and encourage us towards everything that God has for us here? You see, the thing with being a disciple of Jesus, of being on mission with Jesus, is it doesn't matter what situation we're in. It doesn't matter how difficult things look right now. The greatest thing about being a disciple of the one who has all power and all authority is that we can approach everything with faith and expectation, and with patience and perseverance, we will see God move in mighty ways. You see, it's not about how big the giants are, it's about, do we see them with eyes of faith? Are we looking with eyes of faith expecting great things, or are we blinded by fear, doubt and unbelief? So I'm going to finish now with prayer, and I think afterwards I'd like you to get into groups, and I'd like you to pray for one another. I'd like you to pray prayers of healing if somebody in your group is sick. Expect to bring words of knowledge, words of encouragement to one another. Pray for the situations you're in, and pray with faith and expectation that the one with all power and all authority is going to move and do something in that situation. And I hope that next week when we come back together, we will be able to tell stories of what God did based on the prayers that we've prayed this week. So I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the God of all power and all authority. We thank you that you are seated at the right hand of God with all power and all authority. We thank you that there is nothing that you cannot do. We thank you that there is nothing that is impossible for you. And we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be your disciples. We thank you that you've brought us into an intimate, loving relationship with you, Lord. We thank you that you care about all the details of our life. You care about all the trials, all the difficulties we go through. Lord, we thank you that you have power and authority over them. Lord, we thank you that as we go out into a world that can be overwhelming, we go out into a world that seems full of giants, a world that seems full of fortified cities and giant walls, Lord. We thank you that you are the God who brings those walls down. We thank you that you are the God that gives us victory in places where everybody would look and say there's no victory to be had there. Lord, we thank you that you're the God of possibilities. You're the God of opportunities. You're the God of the miraculous, Lord. We just thank you so much. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.